Joe, how are you?
I'm good. You packed and ready?
Oh, yeah. Ready to go, buddy.
Still got the middle seat, Joe?
You know, I'm not sure about that. I need to check on
that. I had a window last year.
That's true. You did. You know, my guess is that you have probably permanently moved to window status.
Oh, that is beautiful. Brian Reese takes great care of us.
Yeah, I don't know that for sure, but that's possible. Are you planning a trip down? Are the Reds playing?
No, unfortunately not. They're in Houston.
Okay.
Which is probably, sorry about that. Probably a good place for them. All right, well, Joe...
the Reds haven't played since June.
That's true.
Hey, as Bruce Fowler likes to say, the Reds that he grew up following have relocated to Cooperstown. Great line.
Well said.
All right, well, we've been waiting throughout the camp for the announcement on who the starting quarterback would be. We got that yesterday. Not a huge surprise that it's the senior Chris Nixon who started all the games in 06, started the first half of last year before Mackenzie Adams took over for the final six games. But you get the feeling that the coaches are comfortable regardless of which guy it is.
I think they were, and it's probably a win-win situation. But it wasn't any one particular event that happened at a practice that they said, okay, he's going to start. I just think it was a compilation of all the practices and what they saw in Chris, what he brings to the table, his senior leadership, all those kind of things. And so certainly I would imagine, I would think that they were probably told maybe after the Monday practice or sometime on Monday, and then everybody else was told on Tuesday. But it'll be good to see him back out there in his, what we saw 2 years ago, at least health-wise. And I know McKenzie is disappointed, but I would be willing to bet that he needs to be ready to play, because I don't think it would be a shock to see Matt come out there for a series or two in the middle of this game to try to give Chris a little bit of a breather.
Joe, you look at Miami on offense with Dan Rodabaugh at quarterback, but a suspect running game, and we had Bobby Johnson on yesterday, and he feels he can get pressure on him, which would play right into the door strong suit, their secondary.
Well, you hope so. Vanderbilt, remember, had 30 sacks last year, just a tremendous number. And Miami now, they don't have great running numbers, but to be honest, they really like to throw the football anyway. That's kind of their bread and butter for their offense, spread you out and try to throw the ball. So that may be a little bit deceiving. But I do think it's important. Rodabaugh now with a little bit of time under his belt, much more of a veteran than last year. And you look at his numbers from last year, his completion percentage about 55%, and he was even on interceptions and touchdowns, so he had some bad passes in there. But they also threw the long ball pretty well, had a couple of 70-yard scoring strikes, and they'll look to go long. They'll try to go over the top of the Vanderbilt secondary, so pressure will be highly important for the Commodores to keep him from having time to sit back there in the pocket.
Joe, one thing we talked about with their coach yesterday is the great coaching tradition at Miami, and they're going to be honoring some of the guys from the cradle of coaches throughout the year. The late Paul Brown's going to be the one that they honor tomorrow night, and that guy is certainly an icon in that part of the country, isn't he?
It's an amazing list. When people start thinking about coaching ties and a tremendous list of coaches, Eric Parsegian and Bo Schembechler, and long list of coaches on and on that went through Miami as either players or coaches, and it's kind of been emotional for them. They even make a point in their notes of talking about four what they consider losses from the cradle of coaches in the last 22 months. They had Bo Schembechler, of course the Terry Heppner saga that ended in 2007, Randy Walker, John Pont, the four they list. But, it is a huge part of their history, and they're awfully proud of it, as well they should be.
Joe, just more fallout from the new SEC package signed with ESPN, over $2 billion, and you learn that Raycom is pretty much phased out of this. But even better for basketball, and I think a lot of the basketball coaches are thrilled over the prospect of having all their games televised now on the four-letter network.
Well, I think that was a big part of it, too. This deal that ESPN put together was not based just on football. It was not based just on basketball. It was the total package opportunity to have. And you're right. I think the basketball coaches, and we saw some of it in the last season, are willing to adjust their schedule a little bit and take some of those rather awkward nights where you play on a Tuesday night or you play on a Thursday night or you do, for example, like Tennessee did last year where they play on a Thursday and a Saturday and then a Monday, and two of them are road games. But if you can get three games on ESPN or games on CBS, the exposure is well worth it for your program. and coaches are certainly willing to do that. Basketball is going to be a big boost because it's probably going to give them, you know, instead of double the number of national games automatically in the first year of the package.
And with more of the radio broadcast sites at the scorer's table these days, that means more national face time for Joe Fisher.
Have to get a new wardrobe.
Yep.
Yep, got to work on that.
Joe, we'll see you around lunchtime today.
Oh, okay, guys.